What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Got great ideas, but no idea how to build a website? Get Bluehost. Their AI design tool creates high-quality WordPress sites super fast. Whether you're a blogger, influencer, or launching a side hustle, Bluehost helps boost your growth with built-in marketing and e-commerce tools. Upgrade to cloud to get 100% uptime and 24/7 security to stay online all the time. Why wait? You've got the vision. Make it real. Visit Bluehost.com to get started.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Kings needed a bounce back win tonight, but it wasn't going to be easy against a Suns team that's been playing some good basketball. They came in this game 8-1, but some late news yesterday about Kevin Durant. He's out with a calf strain, so the Suns a little bit short-handed. Could the Kings take advantage of it? Well, the three-point shot wasn't a dropping tonight. Oh. You lose Malik Monk in this game due to an ankle injury, and the Kings get down double digits. It got a little scary until DeMar DeRozan went absolutely berserk. DeRozan had 16 points in the fourth quarter on 6 of 7 shooting, including 1 of 1 from downtown. Ooh. The game ends up going to overtime, and DeMar said, "I'm not done." He scored 8 in the overtime period and then handed it off to De'Aaron Fox, who said, "It's closing time." And then he went berserk too, dropping 8 points. And the Kings get an overtime win over the Phoenix Suns, 127-118. They are now 6-4 after 10 games. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
You know I'm doing good. Sunday night win. Let's get it. I love it. I love the way that the Kings keep grinding it out to win. It's not like they're playing bad basketball all throughout a game grinding out. No, they're just missing a shit ton of shots, right? And that can be so deflating at times, and to still find a way to get the dub in games like this, I love it.
Well, let's talk about it, because this one was definitely one of those games that when it was looking bleak at points, I was thinking some bad things. And it doesn't mean like some of the issues that they had tonight are ones that you just quickly dismiss, but the way they battle is exactly right. And I think that's one early theme I'm seeing from this team. Look, they're 6-4 after 10 games, and they're like 28th in three-point shooting, 29th in three-point shooting. They're 28th in bench scoring. That's not sustainable, but the fact that you're still at 6-4, you feel like that's a win.
Yeah.
And I give them a lot of credit for being in every single game this year. They have a chance to win. Every single game this year, they've been in games, and that to me is super encouraging, and you hope the shots start to drop. This one tonight, I think we started in the beginning. I thought Sabonis and Herter really set the tone early for Sacramento.
Absolutely. It was so fun, especially seeing Herter get things going. Those shots were dropping, and I think you just rely on Sabonis to bring it every single night. Like, that's what you expect. That's what you're going to see. But when Kevin Herter is feeling good on both ends of the floor,
that's the thing tonight. He did everything.
Love. love what he was capable of doing on the defensive end tonight. I can't wait to figure out how many deflections he finished with. I know that has to be updated on the NBA site. But how many deflections he finished with, just the way that he was doing a great job of getting his, showing his jersey and filling in those gaps by moving his feet and just not using his hands. I just thought how disciplined he was on the defensive end, and maybe the energy he felt from those shots falling, the confidence or whatever it was, it just looked great all around for him.
Yeah, he did it with his rebounding. He had 7 rebounds. Ooh. He had 4 assists in this game. He also had 3 steals in this game. And then when he's knocking down shots, it just looks so smooth. 17 points for Kevin Huerter. He played 34 minutes tonight, and that is massive, especially in a game that is close, especially in a game in which you lose Malik Monk's punch, to have someone who's coming in and like playing Look, he's not a lockdown defender. We know all this. And there are times he was going to get targeted. Like, that's going to happen, especially in late game situations.
Yeah.
But to Morgan's point, he held his own. I thought he did a good job tonight.
It was better than just like filling the void. Oh, yep. The team defense was helping him. It's like, of course, that at times is going to cover up some of his flaws with his athleticism. But his size and his discipline took such a... just so much pride tonight in the way that he was moving from side to side, the way that he was staying in front of guys. And he's such a smart defender that you can just tell he's really put in the work with maybe even just like truly being engaged every single possession, because he understands that's how he's going to get these type of minutes.
And so, yeah, it makes such a big difference for the Kings when he can go out there and compete the way he did tonight. So huge shout out to Kevin Huerter, who had to come back from the injury. Then he was sick, blah, blah, blah. And this Kings team still can't buy a 3 for the most part.
Sure.
I will say this, Morgan.
What will you say?
Last podcast, we say, can they just hit 11 tomorrow, the next game?
Yeah.
Can you just hit 11?
How many did they hit?
11. 11 of 37 for the Kings. 29%. What a jump. Think about the percentage increase. Was 11% last game, and they jump all the way to 29.
Wow.
Dude, still a concern.
More than double. Hey, shut up. We're celebrating a win, huh? We can be concerned on all the losses, too, because this is sadly starting to become a theme with their shooting. But if they shoot like shit and still get the dub, you're doing something right. One other thing, too, I think we should mention while we're on Kevin Huerter, he won the DPOG crown, defensive player of the game in the locker room. So he was awarded that by the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And
he deserved it.
Yeah. It was just really cool to see him get some things done on both ends. And like we said, when you have people crashing the boards and not just Domas, not just Keegan, you're seeing it from everyone now.
Just a really, really good performance. I thought Sabonis too came out very assertive attacking Nurkic or Plumlee. He didn't really care who was in front of him. He did in the third quarter when the Kings looked like it was kind of slipping a bit. I felt like the Suns did a great job just swiping down, and he had some tough turnovers. Sabonis ends up with 6 turnovers, but he had 20 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. He played just under 39 minutes.
Yeah, and surprisingly, he still got hit in the face again. Contact comes out. Like, it's incredible. I think so.
Why did the Suns challenge that play?
Well, I don't know.
He got hit in the face.
I know, and it was a contact came out of his eyeball. Like, it's not like, oh, it just flew out. I can understand when someone gets hit in the face so much and you're grabbing your face. Like, we've seen it in the NBA. We've seen it in soccer. You know, people exaggerate. This guy always has like a mark or something that shows that he's actually getting hit in the face. So he fights through it. I thought tonight he did a good job of battling through. But like you said, some of those late turnovers that he did have were so frustrating. But the Suns were doing a great job collapsing on him, using those active hands, just really trying to. They did it too late. They should have done that so much, you know, especially because of how the Kings were shooting throughout this game. It's like, just collapse. Take the ball away from Sabonis and make him think twice. And you're going to screw with the Kings offense more, but they didn't do that.
Well, the Kings got in a very fragile spot. In the fourth quarter, it was definitely concerning. The Suns looked like they were going to take control a couple of times. They got up by like 9. I think with like 4 minutes to go, the Kings were down. Let's see here. They were down 7 at the 407 mark, 104-97. And you're like, oh man, can you get it going? Keegan hits a big 3 to cut it to 4. And you're like, okay, That was quick. Uh-huh. Good job, Fox, finding Keegan. And Keegan, a much needed corner three to cut it to four. And then it became the De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan show. Just impressive to see what those guys did tonight. We should talk about the end of the game because there was a lot of weirdness
so
that went down.
Much weirdness.
Morgan, what did you make of the play? Well, first of all, let's rewind.
Okay.
When DeMar DeRozan just taking over this game, getting the Kings back within reach.
Fourth quarter.
6.2 to go in the fourth quarter.
Uh-huh.
DeRozan gets another great look. Misses the shot. Keegan Murray comes crashing. No one boxing him out. Gets a hand on it. Tips in it with 4 seconds to go to give the Kings a 111-110 lead.
One, you saw Sabonis also trying to get in there. But for Keegan to be so consistent with the way that he's been flying in, crashing the boards, and then just to have the finesse on that tip in, the timing and the finesse, right? The ball had to roll around the rim, not be within the cylinder, and to get that timing down to tip it back in, I was so excited. That was, I mean, even in that moment, I was like doing this on the couch where I was just kind of half looking like, no. And of course, DeMar, like after making every single shot, misses
that one.
And it was easy too. Like he was even closer to the basket and he had two guys going different directions. But Keegan, fantastic job with another offensive board.
That was the only shot he missed in the fourth quarter.
Oh my God.
He had 16 points in the fourth quarter, 6 of 7 shooting, but Keegan makes up for it with that tip in. He was a monster in the glass. We'll talk about him in a bit. Now, the next play, the Suns call a timeout 3.9, which is an eternity, and you're like, oh shit, this is going to be heartbreaking. Suns getting the action, trying to get Devin Booker the ball. Looks like it's thrown out of bounds. I'm like, oh, it's a turnover. But no, there was a whistle, and you're looking, foul called on Keegan Murray. The replay, you see the replay, and you're like, ugh, really? I mean, Grayson Allen is sticking his ass out.
That and
Keegan's trying to fight through the screen and kind of gets attached and bumps.
Can we say marginal contact? Can we say physical game?
Yeah.
I was
surprised by it.
I was too, only because, like, I think in this game that we do try, like, again, I always try to put myself in the position. I'm like, okay, if that was De'Aaron Fox in that position, I would understand if they didn't call it, you know, because you just go, it's a physical game. Yeah. You're like, sometimes you're going to lose that, whatever. But it's Devin effing Booker. And of course, he throws up his hands and he gets it. And good for him. Like, he's done a good job throughout his years seeking out some of those moments. And he's been respected so much in this league that he can sometimes get those moments from the officiating crew. And he got it. And then they went back and reviewed it.
They reviewed it, which ended up being critical because it's like, is it going to be 2 free throws with Devin Booker stepping the line? Or is it going to be 1 shot at the free throw line and possession? Because the foul, did it occur before the inbound pass? They looked at it for a while and determined that it happened before the inbound pass. That meant 1 shot and the ball. So Booker goes the line, makes the free throw. And you're like, God, now you got to play some defense. But in some ways, you're like, did you kind of catch a break here?
You did.
Because if Booker goes the line, makes 2 free throws, and you have to hit a game winner, whatever. Anyway, so then they're in a situation where Sabonis gets switched out onto Devin Booker, and I give Sabonis so much credit not fouling, for making sure to contest to the best of his ability. Devin Booker had to take a tough corner three.
Yep.
It was a three that, honestly, he can make. He's very comfortable making it, but I thought Sabonis did a hell of a job to make it a little more challenging for a guy who has shown the ability to knock down those shots.
Like you said, without fouling, he did a great job of really staying in front of him, too, because Book in the mid-range is scary, is dangerous, and just even a closer shot, is that just an automatic thing for him like that? Where that corner three at times can be an automatic thing for Devin Booker. But I think the way that he was fading and maybe just the size of Sabonis hopefully just screwed up his vision a little bit of just or his perception, whatever, of where he was on the floor. And it was close, but no good overtime.
So we end up going to overtime. Beal gets the first 2 points. You're like, okay, what's going to go down here? Well, DeRozan wastes no more time, gets down the floor, gets an and one. He just absolutely dominated in this session. He ends up hitting another shot, layup, then he hits another jumper, and one. Mm. And then De'Aaron Fox decided it was his turn. And De'Aaron Fox said post-game that DeMar is like, hey, man, you got to take over here now.
Yeah.
Like, it's your turn. And De'Aaron Fox went berserk. He ends up with a layup, a jumper, and the Kings end up winning 127 to 118. But we do need to press rewind because there was going to be a situation where I would have probably lost my mind here.
Do it. Go over it.
The exact scenario, I'm trying to look at where it happened on the clock, and I had my notes too. Son of a gun. Yeah, that's where it was. Okay. 121-114 with 212 to go. This is a critical sequence here. There should have been a shot clock violation called, in my opinion.
Okay.
They rule that Trey Lyles, you know, saves the pass, and that, I guess, is deemed possession. What it leads to is instead of a shot clock violation, and it's, one, by the way, 121-114, Kings get the ball, then the game's for sure wrapped. There's still like 212 to go in this game, right?
Yeah.
Instead, no shot clock violation. Apparently, that's ruled a change of possession. Ball ends up in Beal's hands. He hits a three and one.
I was like, no.
Disgusting.
No. Like, let's go back, you guys. That should have been a shot clock violation. 3-2-1, you know, whatever. And I'm like, what's the Suns scores table doing? I put it out there, Suns scores table versus the Kings, you know, like, screw them, all the things. And some guy put on Twitter, he was like, hey, well, like, it, we didn't get, or someone said that it was gaining possession when you do save the ball. So then I looked up the rule, the exact rule. And when I looked it up, this is what I found online. And I asked, oh, good. There we go. Yes, in the NBA, a controlled possession is considered when you save the ball by deflecting or tipping it in the way that allows you to gain control of it, even if you don't initially have full possession. So he never had full possession, but I guess it was trying to allow him to save it to gain control. But essentially, you've disrupted the opponent's play and secured the ball in a way that your team can. But here's my thing. I feel like in the past that that's not a controlled possession. And so seeing this rule tonight has me thinking a lot of different things. I'm just going to be looking out for this throughout the season, but I just thought it was a very strange moment that that could be considered controlled possession just because you saved the ball from going out of bounds.
Yeah, that was a tough sequence, and Herter fouled out on the play. And we can't forget, you know, Sabonis fouled out on the play a little before that too, when it was 119-113, when it looked like he had great verticality. It's not only the verticality, you got to see if he's jumping into the defender. I don't think Sabonis fouled Beal either. So it felt like there were some calls not going the Kings' way. And I give them credit. They just kept playing. And I feel like this team in the past, this specific team in the past couple of years, if things don't go their way,
yeah,
it all falls apart. But shit has changed a little bit because they've got two guys now that are just stone cold killers. They are the Dementors. De'Aaron Fox and DeMar DeRozan. I'm going to read you something, Morgan.
Yeah.
Through three quarters tonight, DeMar had 10 points on 5 of 15 shooting. De'Aaron Fox had 9 points on 4 of 15 shooting. DeMar DeRozan finished with 34 points in this game on 14 of 25. De'Aaron Fox finished with 21 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists in this game on 10 of 23 shooting. When you have two guys that in close games, you can give the ball to and they can go get a bucket, that's a pretty special weapon to have. And
absolutely,
you've got two of those guys. And it's not only guys that you can give the ball late, like let's slow it down and find the mismatches and get to our spots. Both of those guys did that in the fourth quarter overtime tonight. It's two guys that don't get phased because they're not shooting the ball well through the first three quarters. Mm-hmm. These guys are basketball players. And what basketball players do, they keep playing. They don't slump their shoulders and go, I'm not going to shoot anymore. I'm going to let someone else do it. No, because when you're guys and you're like, we are going to win this game, you're going to go down swinging. They went down swinging
but
tonight.
But it's not just like a, I believe I can do this. It's they put in the work. They have prepped for these moments. And DeMar DeRozan was talking on the post game after when I think Chelsea might have asked him about, you know, just that becoming automatic, whatever. And he said it's just, it's you just feel like you're a kid out there, and you, the imagination that goes into it. And when you're a kid and you're like imagining the ball just dropping, and I mean, I'm trying to quote what he said, but I always feel like he goes back to the joy of being in his youth and playing basketball in those moments. And I just think it's so special that that is what he still feels at 36 years old when he's out there.
Yeah, let's hear a portion of that on the TV broadcast.
Just a sense of urgency. You know, we turned the ball over too many times down the stretch, missed some shots, gave up some easy buckets to them. Once we settled down, got to our sweet spot, you know, we made it difficult on them.
Yeah, going into that overtime, what were the conversations like in that huddle and within your team, and what is coach saying to you in those huddles?
Stay solid, be smart, read what they're giving us, and that's what we did. We stayed patient, came down, stuck to what was working. We hit some big shots.
Those guys aren't afraid of the moment, and yeah. That's such a powerful thing to have.
Yeah, no, and that's, I think when you look at their games as a whole and you really look at some of those numbers, and some people can reflect and go, well, why can't they just be consistent all game so they don't have to get to that point? It's the NBA. Like, you're going to have bad nights. You're going to have inconsistent nights. You're going to have great nights. You're going to have teams make adjustments on you and screw with your nights. Like, you're going to have all the things. It's how you control what you can control. And what these two did control, they controlled making sure that their team was going to end up with the W at the end of the night. And they didn't care who the hell was in front of them. They were going to attack. They didn't care if it was the Rook. They didn't care if it was Royce O'Neal. They didn't care if it was a big in front of them. Like, they were going at them and getting to their spots. And that type of confidence, it's like you said, it's such a special weapon to have. And to have two guys that can really do that at such a high level is incredible.
DeMar had 24 points in the fourth quarter in overtime. Sacramento outscored Phoenix in the overtime period 16-7. Those 16 points, 8 were scored by DeMar DeRozan. 8 were scored by De'Aaron Fox.
What do you think about, I just saw this in the chat, Clutch Bros?
No, man.
Good bit, though.
The Dementors, they will suck the soul out of you. Oh. And that's what they did tonight in Phoenix. They sucked the soul out of the Phoenix Suns.
Is that Harry Potter?
Yes. Hello.
I'm Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I'm not into hair.
It's not about Harry Potter. Okay. It's about Dementors, are these dark figures that can take over and just come into your world and suck the life out of you.
Wow.
That's the character. Those guys are Dementors. It's not about Harry Potter.
I remember Harry Potter being so like sweet and wizardy, not like so.
You haven't seen any of the movies.
Oh, except the bad guy, the Voldemort. What's his name? Is that his name?
Yeah, dude.
Gandalf. I'm just kidding.
You haven't seen the movie. It's fine.
Oh my God. Maybe I did a long time ago, but I don't really remember them. But anyway, okay, fine. Dementors.
Dementors. The Dementors.
Dementors. I just want to make sure I get it right. Clutch Bros is just a lot easier to say. But
the Dementors is hard to say?
No, but is it Ters or Tors? Dementors. Got it.
You're being one right now. You are sucking the life and soul out of me with these comments. Shout out to everyone watching us live right now. If you have not done it yet, do us a favor and hit the thumbs up and subscribe.
Give me a hell yeah!
All it does is help our channel grow, and we are trying to push for that 18,000 subscriber
Let's
mark,
go.
And we are almost there. We are less than 100 away from 18,000. Also, hitting the thumbs up just makes it so more people see the work we're doing. We appreciate you guys so, so, so much. Should we go to the Malik news now or what?
Yeah. So then let's like sprinkle in some of the downer.
You know what? Let me stick with De'Aaron for a second.
Okay. Because stay with the good. I like it.
No, it wasn't the good because it was weird how I was feeling throughout this game tonight.
Okay.
De'Aaron's, in my opinion, right now with the situation he is in, I don't want him passing up good looks for sure. But I don't think he took great threes in this game. He ends up 0-for-6 from downtown. At this stage, if you're not knocking down threes, do what you do best, and that's get to the mid-range. I thought he did that much better in the second half.
Yeah.
He was getting to his spots.
Yeah.
He was just missing a ton in the mid-range, but I think you got to scale back the threes. I mean, if you're getting them in catch-and-shoot situations and they're clean looks, okay, fine, maybe take 4 to 5 of them. But, you know, he's had an 0 for 11 game, a 1 for 9 game. Now today, an 0 for 6 from downtown. You have to take threes in today's NBA, acknowledge. But when I see what he did throughout the fourth quarter and in overtime, it's like, stick to what's worked. They can't guard you.
You just said, you got to shoot threes in today's NBA. But in just sports, you got to put points on the board. And you got to do what works. And I am so with you when it comes to De'Aaron should still be shooting the three, especially in those open looks. Like, I mean, we'll get to even someone like Trey Lyles. It's like, yeah, I get it. Like, you're going to shoot some of those. Finally knocked one down. But there's even moments when if it really becomes apparent that you are just like not feeling it, that type of flow, that type of rhythm from three, it's like you said, do what you know best. See the ball go through the rim. And maybe even when you do that and
yes,
you use your number one skill set, being speedy, getting to the mid-range, whatever.
Getting to the line. And if not, you know,
it could be very helpful.
You're going to draw so much attention.
Yeah.
That could create opportunities for others on the team that maybe knock down some open shots. So I just think there's got to be more of a, okay, like, we got to get quality looks. Yeah. I guess that's my biggest thing is like, if you're taking threes, they need to be quality. I thought the Kings got really great looks against the LA Clippers the other night when they went 3 of 26. Tonight, they still got some good looks. They end up 11 for 37 from three. That's 29%. So here we are, 10 games in the season. This team has shown no ability to knock down the three on a consistent basis. I don't know who you feel like you can count on because it has been so game to game. It's like, all right, Herter's night tonight. He hit 5 of the 11 threes. He was 5 of 9 from three. Can he build on that?
Mm-hmm.
DeRozan, 1 of 1.
Keegan
was 2 of 6.
Yep.
Okay, I can live with that. I'm glad he needs to really get it going for three. If the Kings are going to be able to get that average back up and be a respectable three-point shooting team, it's on Herter, it's on Keegan, it's on Trey Lyles.
Well, and remember what
Ellis.
And remember what we were talking about in the beginning of the season. Holy shit, they only took 23s. Yeah. Holy shit, they only took 22 threes. It didn't feel like it was enough attempts. And now you're seeing the attempts go up, and that's what Mike Brown talked about it the other day right before they went on their road trip. He was like, yeah, like I want this team to shoot as much as we can still. I want those attempts to keep going higher, to keep flowing. And it's understandable in today's league, but I also think you get to a certain point in the season, maybe 15, 20 games in, where you go, okay, is this going to be more of our identity where we work the ball around and we get a good shot and we're making points. We're so efficient on every single offensive possession. I don't know what the answer is. Not an NBA coach, but I do like seeing the attempts go up. But I also think it's very important that when shit isn't flowing and flying, got to make sure to go back to the basics a little bit.
Sacramento points in the paint tonight at 54. They were 67% in the paint. They were 39 for 65, 60% on 2-point shots tonight. So that's the other early thing that's encouraging. Like, yeah, we can like shit on the fact that they can't make a three to save their life. Like,
yeah.
I'm honestly at this point, there are fans that you pull from, you know, in those shooting contests at
arena
that have knocked it down more effectively than Sacramento.
Dude, you put me in? I don't know about an NBA three, but like,
I might be able to shoot 29%.
Oh, God.
No, but the good news is like, dude, the mid-range shit, like, and it's helpful when you've got Fox knocking down mid-range. Mm-hmm. DeRozan's just been lethal from the mid-range this year, of course, like per usual. And now Sabonis is taking them.
Yes.
You know, Sabonis, they left him open a couple times early and he was taking them. So I'm really encouraged by, hey, you guys are showing the ability that you could score at 2 of the 3 levels now. And I think it's so important that you have the ability to do that, that you don't, you're just not relying on one way to score the basketball. They've shown the ability here early on the season to get to the free throw line, hit in the mid range, finish at the rim. The next part is knocking down threes. And there's you know, they believe that they do have shooters that will eventually shoot better from three.
And we've talked about this so many times too. The offense having so much diversity, right? With just like different players being able to do different things. Sometimes you're seeing Sabonis knock down his threes tonight, 0 for 3. I thought his attempts were fine.
Yeah.
I think when you can tell when his shot is in this confident one type of flow shot from three. You saw it in the mid-range tonight from him. My point to this as well, though, is I really just think it's going to come down to matchup. What's the team look like? Who are you playing? Because when they were playing the Clippers the other night, the Clippers did a fantastic job of packing the paint, and then the Kings were shooting awful, you know, from three-point land, not great from the outside. So you're exactly right. How can you keep working that mid-range, especially if that's something that is working from you? The two-man game also was a beautiful thing when Malik was out there with Sabonis. I thought they did a great job. The two-man game with Sabonis for the most part. You're just throwing different things at these defenses, and it makes them have to think, and it just doesn't always have to be a spray three. It doesn't always have to be end up being that three ball.
One of the other highlights for me tonight, the rebounding. 57-48 in favor in Sacramento. De'Aaron had 11. Sabonis had 12. The leading rebounder tonight, Keegan Murray with 14.
Hey.
His fifth double-double of the season.
Good for him.
He had 8 all of last year. He had 4 in his rookie season. That's a number we're going to be watching a lot. And Keegan's ability to get tough rebounds this year, to be aggressive attacking the glass, both offensively, right, and getting those big defensive rebounds has been critical. They need that consistently from him, and I think he's brought it defensively, the rebounding, the toughness. I even thought early, couple plays early, attacking Devin Booker and getting physical with Devin Booker.
Yep.
We're seeing those strides made by Keegan Murray.
Yeah, I love the way that he's being aggressive, and that's been really consistent this season. And that goes for both ends of the floor, even on the defensive end, the way that he stays in front of some of the best guards in the league. But you just look at that stat line once again, Deuce, and there's nights where he might be missing his shots, but you're just seeing him do so many other things. And now we're going to come to, like, we had a game a couple games ago where his rebounding numbers were super low, and it's like, no, that's part of your identity now. You got him, and he has a nose for the ball. The effort is there, and it's just something that they need someone with that size to do possession after possession.
He ends up with 14 points and 14 rebounds in this game for Sacramento on 5 of 11 shooting. Kings end up shooting just under 50%, which again is crazy, right?
Like, yeah.
You shoot... just under, you shoot 49% and you were 11 for 37 from three. Just goes to show you, God, if these threes just, oh my goodness, just please, dear God,
basketball gods,
35%. Like, I think they're generating good looks. Can Keegan get it going consistently? Can Kevin be there like he was in year one? Could Trey finally hit one tonight? But I mean, this guy's been in the slump of all slumps.
Yeah, I know.
It's killing
me. When he hit that one,
because
there was a moment where I was just like, why is he still shooting that? And it's more like I feel bad for him. Like, I want him to pump fake, do a long two, like see the ball go in. And then when he finally knocked down that three and it was a big three, I was like, okay, maybe you're feeling good now. You got the green light. Do what you got to do. But Mike Brown's just only going to empower and encourage these guys to shoot. And I do love that about him. Just giving them that freedom. And I think most of these guys on this team have they have the basketball IQ to understand when they should stop. And Mike Brown even said it the other day. He's like, if you're not going to shoot that open three, then you're not going to play. And it's like, okay, well, that's a threat. Like, that's a real threat.
Yeah, and I think he wants them to make sure that they stay confident with
it.
Through 10 games, the Kings rank 9th in offensive rating and 11th in defensive rating.
Ooh.
So, 9th in offense, despite the fact that they cannot shoot threes this year.
Yeah.
Okay. At least to start the year. So,
I'll take it.
That seems encouraging to me.
It is.
Because right now, they moved up to 28th in a three-point percentage. They are shooting on the season. Is that right? Let me just double-check here. On the season, the Sacramento Kings are shooting 30.6% from three. 30.6%?
Better than the Orlando Magic at 30.4.
and better than Portland.
At 30.2.
I mean, that is insane that they're still kind of hanging in there.
And then the Cavs, the team that's 11-0 is shooting 42% from three.
Oh my God, that team's been on
insane. Insane.
We have a lot more to go over. We got some more goods from tonight. We've got some bad and some big concern tonight that we have to discuss. And we got to look ahead to King Spurs on Monday night in San Antonio, the Harrison Barnes revenge game.
Ooh, not the Wemby game, but the Harrison Barnes revenge game.
If Harrison Barnes goes for 30 tomorrow night,
what are we going to do?
Sacramento, you better board up the windows in Sacramento. People are not going to be happy.
So dramatic.
We got more of the pod coming up in just a second. We are presented tonight by Mother Restaurant in Sacramento. That's at 2319 K Street. MotherSacramento.com to order online. It is one of the best restaurants in Sacramento, Morgan Reagan.
It really is. And we're not just saying that. They received awards like a Michelin Bib. Like, it is some of my favorite food here in Sacramento. But they've got a November deal every single day. Every single day throughout November, you can go on in and get 50% off your entire meal. You're like, wait, is this a joke? No, it's not. But you got to bring in a photo of your mom or your grandmother. And when I say photo, like, you can bring in your iPhone, like, technology is fine, but you got to bring in a photo of your mother or grandmother, dead or alive. And we've already had listeners show up and make this happen.
And you get 50% off.
50% off your entire check. So go on into Mother.
Yeah, Mother, 2419 K Street. Excuse me, 2319 K Street. You go to 2419, you're going to be in the wrong spot. You just look around. You're like, oh, it's just right there.
Oh, yeah. I got to just walk right. Oh, and it's also the best location. It's the best street.
Yeah.
So even as after you go to Mother, you're just going to want to go everywhere else as well.
Yeah, check out their website, MotherSacramento.com. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. You see that QR code on your screen? Or if you're listening, you just go to GoldenOne.com. But you can scan that QR code on the screen to see Golden One's range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. And oh, Kings fans, it pays to be a Golden One member. You get up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal.
Oh, almost.
Damn it.
I know, it's so hard to say.
15% off merch when you use your Golden One credit card, your Golden One card at the Kings team store, and the chance to win courtside lower bowl seat upgrades when you wave your Golden One card at select games.
You guys, you get all these different deals just by showing up and having the card. Well, being a member, of course. So you scan that QR code or you go to their website. But we've seen it happen so many times at these games, all the way up at the upper bowl. Scott Freshour goes up there. You show your card and they're like, boom, you're getting upgraded to a lower bowl seat. So make sure to become a Golden One member today.
Yeah, that's how you win as one at Golden One. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you're thinking, I need some new windows.
Yeah.
I need some energy efficiency in my life.
All those things.
You got to go to Northwest Exteriors. Go check out their showroom. Check out all the windows. And they've got deals right now. They're going to give you a $109 window buyback offer. Also, they will donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station for each window purchase. The foundation supports veterans. That offer expires December 29th, 2024.
You know, when I'm not working the NBC games and I'm actually at home watching the games, I see the Northwest Exteriors commercial all the time and I'm on there all the time and I'm like, wow.
With your husband and kids.
With my husband and kids. And it's just all up in my face. So again, everything that we just said, they say on this commercial every single time. So I'm not kidding. You gotta just give them a call and try it out. It's in your face for a reason. It's someone telling you, yeah, maybe you need to save some money and or just get some new windows.
Yeah, check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Good job.
Appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast.
Hey, what's up? It's Wilmer Valderrama. You know, a lot of us don't think twice about our tech. Millions of Americans struggle to connect to today's digital world. And that's why this story really hits home for me. I mean, I start thinking about my upbringing and myself growing up in a world where, you know, you needed every possible tool or help you could get to actually allow you and afford you a bigger dream. That's why I love what AT&T's been doing. They're doing something amazing. I mean, they've launched an effort to equip 20,000 students with laptops, backpacks, and school supplies organized. Seattle, for example, they provided 250 laptops and backpacks to kids who really needed them. Now, you might think like, okay, 250 kids, that's nice, you know, but stop to think for a second, like the impact of what this could do for a community. Imagine, how, you know, 250 kids getting that kind of help. It's huge. It's not just happening in Seattle, right? AT&T is doing it all over the country. I'm just proud that AT&T is helping connect the next generation to a brighter future, and that's pretty special.
Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Shop early, save big, all month long during Black Friday Buildup at Lowe's. Right now, get select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at just $59.98. Don't wait to save. Shop these deals today, in-store or online. Because Lowe's knows deals. Discount taken at time of purchase while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Okay, let's go over some more good and bad from this game, okay. Morgan. Good. I haven't mentioned Keon Ellis yet. Good to see Keon Ellis come out and just make an impact defensively like he always does. He ends up in this game playing 28 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
And they're going to need him to be more aggressive offensively, especially without Malik Monk, who we'll talk about in a second. But I thought, again, defensively, he's everywhere with deflections, coming in, help defense, swiping a ball away, just going out and creating havoc.
Yeah, and what I like about him, I never feel like he's not confident to do something. I feel like he just needs to be coached and told that you need to do this. Yep. And when it comes to him probably seeing more minutes with, and we'll get to Malik Monk, but with Malik Monk that, yeah, being out, I know you did. So with Keon Ellis probably going to see more minutes with Malik Monk being out, you're just going to need him to be more aggressive. But I think that you and I have seen this even when he was playing in the G League a couple years ago. I remember being like, can he do more offensively though? And once he was given the green light to be that guy on a G League team, he took over. He did a little bit more, but he's still such a team player and he wants to get everyone involved. And sometimes his mentality just has to shift up just a little bit more and go, okay, I also got to be that guy. I also got to be someone that they can rely on and not just be a catch and shoot guy. Like, I can get to the basket. I can do other things.
But if you get catch and shoot opportunities, do not hesitate. And yep, I want him taking those shots because I think if the Kings are going to become an average three-point shooting team, it's going to be because someone like Keon Ellis can knock down a couple every
absolutely
game.
Absolutely.
So that was good to see. Trey Lyles still struggling from beyond the arc. He's 1 of 4 from downtown, but finished with 8 points and 6 rebounds, helped the Kings rebounding tonight. And hopefully he sees that one goes in and maybe that can give him some confidence.
Yeah.
It's just he's short on everything.
Yeah, it's... Like, how do you tell him, hey, you got to put more legs into it, right? Like, you just got to use more of that base when you're shooting that outside shot. And you do see him use a lot of his upper body. He has a higher release on that three-point shot. He's strong. Totally get it. But I just think if he engages a little bit more with the bottom half of his body, it will make such a big difference going forward for him. But I also think just doing all the other little things out there on the floor, like you said, those 6 rebounds, just being aggressive down there, that will help with his confidence of just remaining on the floor.
So now we got to get to the tough news about Malik Monk.
Ugh.
A Kings bench that coming into tonight's averaged near the bottom of the NBA in points per game. They were 28th in the NBA in points per game off the bench. And now they lose a guy who's been able to give them a lot off the bench, even if he's been a little up and down. We know what he could provide. Malik Monk tweaked his ankle tonight against the Phoenix Suns, ended up having to hop off the floor and leave this game. He did not return. It's his right ankle. We don't know any type of details on the severity, what if it's a grade, whatever. I would say it's highly, highly, highly unlikely we'll see him for the next couple of games. They play tomorrow, and then they play Wednesday and Friday.
The fact that they were willing to put out by the broadcast time that it's a sprained ankle.
Yep.
You know, not like, oh, it's an ankle injury. It's a sprained ankle. Obviously, we don't know to what degree, but you just saw the way that he did it, and you just think about all the ligaments, and you just think about the swelling, all these different little things, and you go, okay, there's it's a game today, a game, like you said, a game, whatever, Wednesday, Friday?
Yep.
Yeah.
And Saturday
and,
after that.
And Saturday.
So there's a lot of games coming up here, and now it's obviously a concern. I mean, he only plays 7.5 minutes in this game before he had to leave, and this Kings bench has just not given them enough, and that's a huge, huge gut punch to a team that feels very thin. I think we talked about last podcast, hey, what's the bigger concern? Is it the three-point shooting early on or the bench? I'm like, it's a bench. Like, outside Malik and Keon, not necessarily with the scoring, who else is giving them anything at this point? And part of it is, yes, Mike Brown has to just kind of deal with the guys he has and, you know, give them the opportunity to go out there. Like tonight, we did see Doug McDermott play for 10 minutes, and he did not hesitate launching threes. He knocked down one. Trey has to play better. They're probably going to need more from Jordan McLaughlin, but there's no denying, like, it's a major concern. The bench was a major concern before tonight. It's a bigger concern now with Malik Monk out.
And you know that this can happen. You know, like, we see this happen all the time. I mean, look at the Kings took on the Suns, and Kevin Durant was out, plus Nurk didn't even play the second half because of an injury, right? So, like, it happens. But when you feel like you're a team that is still just truly developing together, and your identity is your starters, and then once you and your coach doesn't even trust going into the bench, as we've seen for the first part of this season, it is a little concerning. And now he's gonna have to go to more of the bench, because tomorrow it's a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be playing guys 40 minutes in back-to-backs. I don't know the answer to that. And I know all Mike Brown ever wants to do is win, win, win. And I get it. But sometimes that's going to be like delegating that work to also trust some of his bench guys, even in a game like tomorrow.
And something we haven't talked about, but Mike has mentioned this, that last year, Jordy Fernandez, who was his associate head coach, was the guy that would kind of handle the minutes sheet for Mike Brown. Because Mike's, you know, doing a whole bunch of other things as a coach during it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jordy would check him on minutes, like, hey, this is where we're at, blah, blah, blah. And he's kind of delegated it to, like, a couple of guys on the staff, it seems like. And he's allowing Luke Laux, who took over the defense, to mainly just focus on that end. So Mike's got to just find a way to get that under control. And he's aware of it, but it's one thing to be aware of it, and then you have to be disciplined within a game. Mm-hmm. You know, even if a coach is saying, like, hey, no, he's rolling, keep this guy in there. Hey, we have to think big picture here. And I was encouraged the other night after the loss to the Clippers, where he's like, yeah, this is a long season. I can't run my guys into the ground early. But, you know, tonight in a game that goes to overtime, you're playing guys late because you're trying to get the win. Well, Fox plays under 41, you know, Sabonis fouled out. He would have played 40 plus. He plays 39. Keegan plays 42, almost 43. DeRozan, almost 43. It worked tonight. That's just not sustainable.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. And now the depth took a hit tonight without Malik Monk, with Malik Monk being hurt. So yeah, I think, you know, I automatically, the two guys I look at immediately that you have to step up, it's Keon, who has the ability, and Trey.
Yeah. And with Trey, sure, it's obviously being able to score, but I think with Keon, it's even more so that. Also because Keon has proven that he has that part of his game.
Yep.
He can elevate over guys, especially if it's in a floater. You know, he has it. He can get to the paint and find the open man. Like, he's able to do more on the offensive end. It's just about believing himself and taking over at times, even if it feels like it is too much. He's got to make sure that he's developing in those minutes as well.
And could they get anything from Doug McDermott? If he can knock down some shots, and it's always like, for him, it's so tough because
his closeouts, man.
It's so tough defensively for him. It's really, you know, people talk about Kevin is a better defender than him. I know
100%. Yeah. It's not even, I'm sorry to get so up in arms. It's not even close. And I say that with no disrespect. I mean, I think Doug would say it. He'd be like, yeah, I'm flat-footed on every single closeout. Like, what do I got to do? And I get it. I was an unathletic basketball player. Like, I completely understand it.
Still
but like,
are, yeah.
Thank you. But you got to find a way to still be light on your toes. You got to find a different way than when you are going to close out. Can you use your big body and reach out and then still have your base so you can, like, recover in a different way. Whatever you lack, you got to make sure you're doing something else. And I just don't feel like it's there, and that awareness with his own body is there.
Yeah, the starters have started the year playing exceptional basketball. When you've got three guys averaging 20 or more, and what Sabonis, DeRozan, and Fox have done has been really, really impressive. Keegan's been really strong, and Herter, I think, when he's been out there, has given them some solid, solid minutes. Mm-hmm. The bench is going to have to step up, and it's going to be challenging without Malik Monk. So just hope that he can come back and not be out too long. And you saw the hit they took offensively without him last year. You like to think that now with like DeRozan, you've got Herter, like you can be okay. But God, that depth just took a massive, massive hit that was already a weak point for this team.
Yeah.
Another thing from tonight that I did not understand, and maybe there is a reason for it. I'm eager to ask the coaching staff about this when we get the chance, but bring up the shot chart of this game. What you're seeing on the screen right now is a Phoenix Suns shot chart, and it's all these dots, right? Right. But the thing I want you to pay attention to.
Right.
Tonight, Phoenix shot 57 threes. Insane. They're 18 of 57 from three.
Uh-huh.
31%. I have not seen a team, and maybe I'm just crazy here, get so many corner threes in a game. And they missed a ton of them. But I felt like tonight, they got a lot of clean looks. And Mark Jones said on the broadcast that this Suns offense generates the most uncontested threes in the league. Well, that number, they might have clinched that number for the season based on what I saw tonight. The Kings, I don't know if it's like a defensive thing. And I would love to be proven wrong. I'm like, dude, this is what you're missing. I want to learn. This is not me being an asshole here. But I'm like, there's so many times they're helping to over helping, and they can't recover to the corner in time. And these guys are getting the shots in rhythm with someone like Devin Booker, who's such a good passer, can find these guys in the corner, and they're getting great looks.
So Mark Jones, and with the stat that he had, though, you have to understand, if maybe we go to a different shot chart for the Phoenix Suns on a different night, and maybe we see the same type of corner attempts. And my point to that being, yes, the Kings are terrible when it comes to their three-point defense for the most part. But what I'm thinking is maybe the Suns are really good at skipping the ball. Maybe they're really good at moving. Like they have something down to make sure that they get a lot of uncontested threes.
And Morgan, I'm just... didn't mean to play that. This is from the other night against the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay. Like,
No, Morgan, the corner threes that were given up tonight are a number that you just see. I'm sorry. There's no way. And
thanks for showing me
There's dots everywhere, so it's hard to like count all of them. And
there's a shit ton of dots. Yes, it's too many. It's someone's not closing out. It's someone's not there is what it feels like. It just feels like whatever the help is.
Yeah.
And why are we helping so much, especially on a night that one, Kevin Durant isn't in, so he's not there to attack the paint. But two, like Nurk is out in the second half, so it's not like you're gonna have to like make sure that you're collapsing on him. Plumlee is your big for the most part in this one. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of in Book for the most part. It's not like he's getting to the rack every single time. No. If anything, he's getting in the mid-range and threes.
It's pick and roll coverage. It's if a guy gets beat, like we're just talking about Doug McDermott, someone gets beat, someone's got to come over and help, but then you got to, you know, help and recover. But I think they're helping off the corner so much here. Hmm. And I know tonight they missed the looks, but I mean, just a rough estimate, Phoenix shot over like 20 plus corner threes tonight.
Yeah.
And that is not the shot you want to be giving up. 20 plus corner threes.
We're all there with you, bud. We're all there. We're all thinking it the same thing. It's too many dots.
It's crazy.
Too many dots.
It's just insane to me. So I would love to know like what the thought process was. That's all I'm saying.
And Larry says, I'm not a dots fan. They stick in your teeth.
It's the crickets. Aww, we'll try to find
Larry, I thought it was a funny dad joke. It's true. Dots are gross, but those dots are even more disgusting.
Crazy.
I know.
Here's a question. Yes. Who do you guys think should be the player of the game? That was my poll question tonight. Ooh. And the latest updates, almost 1,000 votes. Who was the player of the game? Was it De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan, Domantas Sabonis, or Kevin Herter?
Wow.
overwhelmingly, 75% of people who voted tonight say DeMar DeRozan.
When I came in here tonight, I was like, De'Aaron Fox. And I think, one, because DeMar has been simply the best player of the game many times this season, it feels like. But with De'Aaron, he showed up when it mattered most and when they needed him to really step up. And it wasn't just his points. It wasn't just his points. It was his rebounds and it was his assists. And the other night against the Clippers, didn't he finish with zero assists and seven turnovers? And
yes, he did.
Again, it was just like, upgrade. Love it.
Well, Deuce Mason has other ideas. We're going with both of them. I'm calling them the Dementors. It may not stick, but now I like the Dementors as a nickname. That's a tag team, right? That's a tag team right there. The Dementors.
Yeah.
Now coming to the ring, a combined weight of 375 pounds.
There you go.
Out of Sacramento, California, the Dementors. I tried to sound like Howard Finkel there. Give my, let's see, I say 3 out of 10 on that. Anyway, simply the best players of the game, the Dementors, DeMar DeRozan, 34 points on 14 of 25 shooting. He had 24 points in the fourth quarter and overtime combined. De'Aaron Fox had 8 points in the overtime frame, outscoring the Suns by himself. He finished with 21 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists. The Dementors, De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan, you're simply the best players of the game. Presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors.
I like it. The Dementors will have to grow on me, but it's not bad. I get the whole thing, but I feel like you got to be a Harry Potter fan to like actually know. But I like it. I like the definition of it. So again, I'm empowering your nickname for them.
Totally empowering it. I think it's, you know, this. Stop overanalyzing it.
I'm not. I mean, you can go to the chat and see what they say, but I would listen to me instead if you want to feel good about yourself.
Let's get to some super chats tonight. Shout out to Enforcer 2K9 donating $2. Think Fox and DeRozan equals the two clutch clan.
No.
That's stupid.
That's so dumb.
No, I'm gonna say thumbs down on that.
Boo.
Eric Ramirez, you are unbelievable tonight. Eric Ramirez has, I think he's going to be filing for bankruptcy after tonight. He has donated 150, 79. He's donated almost like $200 tonight. We appreciate that with no message. And so our message to you is,
give me a hell yeah.
Thank you.
Eric, thank you for funding tonight's podcast.
Muhammad donates, or he's a member again, for 26 months, saying 3 game-tying winning putbacks this season. Sabonis, 2, and Keegan as well.
Hell yeah. Thank you guys so much for all the donations.
Yes. That is awesome. Yeah, this was a good win. I still, long-term, after 10-game sample size, this is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Still have the same concerns.
Okay.
I am bullish on the 3-point shooting. I feel like it's going to happen. And I hope I don't have egg on my face about this. I'm not trying to be like ignorant or anything like that. But I trust a little bit of a track record. And I think these guys will get it going from 3, hopefully over the next 10 games. And you just hope that the bench could survive.
There's nothing ignorant about that.
I think the size thing and the wing thing is still definitely a concern. I've been like keeping my eye on what Cam Johnson's doing in Brooklyn, Dorian Finney-Smith, and just watching some of these teams around the league, you just see how many wings they have and the switchability on defense, the versatility that it allows. How can you get someone like Keegan Murray some help? The Kings have a lot of good pieces, and I think if you're trying to maximize what you have with Fox, DeMar, and Sabonis, and even Keegan, you need some more. You need some more.
Yeah.
Right now, the starters are playing at extremely high level. What if there's a stretch where they're not?
Trust me, I've thought about health. I've thought about all that. I mean, you're even looking at De'Aaron Fox and his hand, finger, whatever, but the amount of tape that's on his shooting hand, you know, and all these things are very important to look at and to really be like, hey, we got to make sure we trust going into the bench, that we trust what other depth is going to be there. You got to develop it. You got to give it to the experience, because otherwise you're going to have to throw them in desperate times and it's just not going to work.
Next up for the Sacramento Kings, a quick turnaround, San Antonio, a matchup with the Spurs. And look, I think everyone is eager to see Victor Wembanyama again. Like, that's always fun to see. Just looking at San Antonio as of late, San Antonio at the moment is sitting at 4-6. They lost last night a close game to the Utah Jazz, 111-110. They are 4-6 on the season, as I mentioned. Of course, they made some changes over the offseason, adding Chris Paul. Harrison Barnes is going to be playing against the Kings for the very first time. It'll be an intriguing game, Morgan.
I'm just excited to see the Spurs. I really haven't watched a lot of them. You know what team I've watched way too much of this year is the Wizards for some reason. Like, every time I'm going to League Pass, I'm like, oh, that's the game that's on. And so then I watch them. I watched Pistons Rockets today. Anyway, my point is with the Spurs, I'm excited to see them against the Sacramento Kings, because that is a team that we have talked about since the beginning of the season is, hey, are they going to be that annoying team? And especially when you look at some of the length and some of the guys that are on this roster and on a second night of the back-to-back for the Kings, what kind of Kings team are you going to see? Still early on in the season, and I'm still just curious every single time the Kings take on a new squad.
And they rank at the moment 26th in offensive rating this year through 10 games for the San Antonio Spurs. And defensively, San Antonio is right below Sacramento, 12th in defense, but okay, 26th in offense. We talked a little bit about Victor the other night. I mean, obviously, this guy is a unicorn. What he can do defensively out there is a problem. You know, you go, well, who's going to check him? I mean, good luck. There's not many great options that you have to deal with Victor Wembanyama. I'm excited to see Stephon Castle. You know, he's coming off a nice game against Utah the other night. But yeah, I think to your point, Morgan, this is a tough back-to-back. Your guys played heavy minutes. You know, I think this is a game where Sacramento is going to have to get Jordan McLaughlin's going to have to give him like 10 points off the bench or something random like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to need a lift. And this week is just tough. You know, you talk about the back-to-back, then Wednesday you play the Suns again. Who knows if, you know, Nurkic is going to play in that game. Durant won't play in that game. But then Friday, you got Minnesota in an NBA Cup game. Oh, the NBA Cup is back, baby.
I'm excited for that. I don't know why. It's just the floor, the vibe, the energy in the building for some reason. It's fun. I enjoyed it last year. And a little revenge on Minnesota, too.
And Devin Vassell is... But he came back last game. We should note that. The chat just brought that up, and that's a great point.
Yeah, he had 21 points off the bench, so.
That's a weapon.
Yeah.
That's a legit weapon. So, I don't know. I mean, the Spurs played the Kings tough last year, and I expect it to be a tough game tomorrow in San Antonio.
Yeah.
But you just find a way that you don't apologize for road wins.
And then what are you going to also do when you're not making your threes, and then you're attacking the paint, and then there's a 7-4 dude there, you know? So, like, how the Kings will adjust to some of these things again early on in the season against a team like the Spurs. It's not gonna be easy. Every single night in the NBA is obviously going to be different, but I feel like, especially for the Sacramento Kings and where they are at, like, they haven't proven anything yet. Like, oh, they're a good team, but they win games like this and they win them well, playing good basketball, then you're starting to get more and more of that reputation.
We're 10 games in. Do you feel like you know this team at all? Or what is there anything you've learned over the last 10 games?
I mean, the acquiring or, you know, adding DeMar DeRozan.
It's insane, dude.
It really is insane when you're like, oh my God, we need that bucket. Oh my God, we need that bucket. Oh my God, you just needed him out there. And just even the attention it draws from defenses, but then having other weapons out there is just so very important. But I would say with this team, I would say, like, yeah, the thing that we've learned is that their starters are really good together. But that's not the whole team. And I'm not sitting here saying, like, the Kings bench individuals aren't good players.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, getting them experience and mixing them in is just, it's part of Mike's job. It's part of everyone doing their job too.
A great point from the chat.
What?
A Dougie McBuckets revenge game?
Oh.
Who will have a bigger game tomorrow night? Harrison Barnes or Doug McDermott?
Well, Harrison Barnes is starting for the Spurs, so I would say probably Harrison Barnes.
Okay.
But I mean,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Going back to DeMar, by the way, you know, he had 30 plus again, 34. He's averaging 25 points a game. This is crazy.
Damn.
25 a game.
Damn. Like, yeah, it's how he's getting them. And how, what I'm really loving is that the entire offense isn't going, okay, it's DeMar's turn. He's getting his. It's De'Aaron's turn. He's getting his. It's like they're still all playing. They're still all doing their thing. And even if DeMar is going to get his bucket, people are still going to crash. People are still going to move without the basketball. They're not just going to stay stale, stand around the arc. You know, there's a few times of that, but DeMar is sometimes quicker on those possessions as well.
Of course, DeMar used to play on the Spurs too. Don't forget.
Well, I mean, I didn't, but it... He already had his, like...
It's not a revenge. Yeah. He chose to leave San Antonio.
Yeah.
It's not a revenge game. But, no. Yeah. DeMar's averaging 25 after 10 games. De'Aaron's averaging 24. There's so much talk about De'Aaron Fox I've seen on social media, too. And the expectations for him are always going to be high. He's like a star guy. I get that. And I think a lot of it, too, has to do with, like, people are thinking about his contract in the future. The only thing I don't think he's doing well this year, well, there are two. I think his turnovers are up a little bit. And the three-point shooting has not been good. He's shooting 27% from downtown at this point. How much of that is attributed to his hand? I don't know. You know, I think the other thing, too, we have to just acknowledge is, like, he has been an inconsistent three-point shooter in his career. Like, maybe he's just having a rough stretch. And this is, you know, he had a 36% year last year.
I know.
Maybe,
I just felt like
maybe he's more like a 33% guy. That's kind of what he's been.
I felt like his shot was finally there, though. You know, like, it looked so much better where it was like, no, maybe we should start believing he's a shooter. And then
after 10 games, it looks rough. But I will say, like, overall, his mid-range game's been great. He's shooting the ball pretty well. He's shooting 47%. I think he's doing a good job rebounding. He's making his free throws 86%. Sabonis making his free throws through 10 games, 83%. Those things are super encouraging. I didn't anticipate that the free throw element would be a big talking point after 10 games, where they're getting to the line a lot and making their free throws. Even tonight, I mean, how many games did we talk about last year? Like, well, the Kings missed 17 free throws. They shot 70% from the line. Tonight, they were 16 of 19, 84%.
Dude, I love that we're giving credit. It's like, yes, they're just supposed to do that. That's what you expect. It's still, I mean, it's obviously difficult for some people. And when you put in the work again and you start really focusing on that, it's cool that you're seeing these guys and Sabonis and Fox and DeMar be able to make their free throws. Another thing someone mentioned, and I just want to mention it, congrats to Mike Brown on his 100th win.
That's big deal for a Kings coach. Yeah. I don't know that many Kings coaches have won 100 games besides Rick Adelman. I know on the broadcast he said franchise history, like the ninth guy in franchise history, but I think that includes like Rochester and Cincinnati, Kansas City. Maybe I'm just so Sacramento that I'm like, I don't care about the records before 1985. The Kings have been in Sacramento 40 years. They're not going anywhere. Like, I care about 1985 to now and the future. I don't care. Oh, well, this coach did it in 1971. Who? Don't care. They're in a different city. Doesn't matter to me. No meaning.
I mean, I'm with you. I don't retain any of those records or names or anything. So.
Could you imagine like looking up at that banner and like, oh man, that 1951 World Championship banner just gives me chills. Like, no. It doesn't matter.
I don't have any pride. No pride in that.
Am I crazy for thinking that?
No, Sacramento or bust.
So in the Sacramento era, I can't imagine there are many guys who have won 100 games.
Yeah. No, again, I know it sounds like we're celebrating the free throws and we're celebrating a coach winning 100 games, but when you have been following, a fan of, covering a team like the Sacramento Kings for the amount of years that, you know, we've obviously been a fan of this team, it's like, yeah, you do celebrate these things and you do recognize how hard it is sometimes in the NBA too.
We got to shout out our guy, Jacob Toby, who is in the chat right now. Jacob Toby is in his first season as the TV voice of the San Antonio Spurs.
Congrats, Jacob Toby.
He is one of the young, probably the youngest TV guy doing play-by-play in the NBA.
Okay.
A young talent. We got to know him during the G League Showcase.
He's such a sweetheart.
Followed his journey. And yeah, he's
so talented.
First year as the San. Can you imagine that?
What?
Just that being this young.
Yeah, I hope.
Elite broadcaster who gets a call, Victor Wembanyama, just walks in. I'm going to be the Spurs guy.
Jacob, I hope you like take a step back in perspective. You understand that, right? Like every single day I need you to just take a step back and go, wow, holy shit. Like I am calling. I'm a play-by-play voice in the NBA. It's really cool. And it's Wemby. You get to be with the Wembs.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. But tomorrow night, you're going to be crying. You take a step back and you cry.
Tomorrow night, you may be hearing some noises in the background in San Antonio. What is that sound as you call the game? It's late. There's 2 minutes to go. What? They're saying something about lighting something? You're going to hear, light the beam.
Light the beam.
But we're in San Antonio right now. Yeah, just like you heard it tonight in Phoenix. And you will hear it on the road when the Kings are up. Light the beam in the background.
I hope it's in your nightmares tonight, yeah. Jacob Toby.
You know, you're going to love watching DeMar. Anyway, no, Jacob is he's awesome. And yeah, so you should check him out. If you have League Pass or something, you can bounce around. Check out what he's doing too. He does some great stuff. So check out Spurs games. I'm always bouncing around League Pass, so it's so cool to hear him call NBA games.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, any final thoughts before the back-to-back?
Final thoughts. Thanks to everyone for being here on a Monday night. Love a good Kings win, but love when we just have the greatest community around just come through. So thanks for being here. It's so much more fun when the beam is up in the sky. And yeah, I just... There's a lot of good from tonight, so enjoy it, and hopefully we see another night kind of like this, where just good basketball is being played, but shots are also going in.
Scale of 1 to 10 tonight, how would you rank this pod?
Oh, I loved it.
So 1 to 10?
Oh, 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
I was just curious. I just want to know what you thought. I was just asking.
And I'm not even going to ask you because I honestly don't give a shit about
what opinion. Do you think I would say if you asked me, if you were to guess?
Well, because you asked it, I'm going to guess you're going to be like, 7.
Okay.
Because that's usually your number. It's seven or 10 for you.
I was going to say like a 6.5 tonight.
You're so weird.
You're great.
I know I was. So like maybe you should just like love yourself too.
I love you guys so much. We're going to do it again tomorrow night. I think it's a late night chat because Morgan's going to be driving back from San Francisco. She'll be on the broadcast tomorrow night with Kyle Draper and the point guard, Chelsea Gray. So a late night chat, probably starting around 10 p.m. Pacific time-ish, I'm guessing. Anyway, we love you guys, but we got to go.
We love you all. Thanks for being here.
See ya.